Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Tolos have been waiting, yearning, just dying to hear the draft notebook unloaded from Nick Harris, part of our draft coverage tonight on the Dallas Cowboys Radio Network and, of course, on this station, Texas Rangers Baseball with DeGrom on the mound, can be heard on our sister station, News Radio 1080 KRLD. I'm Sean Sharif alongside Cowboys insider Bobby Belt. And you beat the traffic. I thought you were going to get here 2 minutes late, Nick Harris.
Yeah, me too. I live in Princeton, which is basically China.
Wow.
To this place. So I had to take a ferry over to the mainland and get across the pilgrims to get here. But I'm here.
All right. I want to start off by telling you what I think the Dallas Cowboys plan is and see if you would be okay with it. As the majority of the Metroplex seems to feel, I think that Tet McMillan is the plan at 12. The whispers I'm hearing is if he's not there, they either take or move down for Walter Nolan.
Yeah, that would be fascinating. First off, with the Tet McMillan, I agree with you. I think that's probably the highest target going into the night, the highest realistic target going into the night. As far as Walter Nolan, I think he's in a group of probably three or four names that would make sense, whether you're sticking at 12 or maybe moving back to a 15 or an 18 or a 20, even
now
25.
He's Ole Miss D tackle.
Correct, yes. The other names that I would throw in that mix, Michael Williams out of Georgia, Shamar Stewart out of Texas A&M, and then Emeka Abuka out of Ohio State. And obviously Matthew Golden out of Texas is in that mix too. I think Abuka would be the pick over Golden. That's just me. There's a lot of ties to Emeka Abuka on the staff, not only with wide receivers coach Junior Adams, who recruited him really hard when he was at the University of Washington, just 50 miles away when Abuka was in high school. He also coached Abuka's high school receivers coach. There's a lot of connections there. And Schottenheimer was in Seattle just down the street whenever Abuka was coming out in the Seattle area. So I think whenever you factor in character and what Schottenheimer has been emphasizing over and over and over again is, hey, we're going to take a look at the person. There's a lot of things that make sense for Abuka.
That's
the thing that doesn't make a lot of sense about Walter Nolan, though, if I'm being 100% honest. Because if that does come true tonight and they end up sticking at 12 and picking Walter Nolan, that'd be the question I have in the press conference. Like, how was Walter Nolan able to convince you, Brian Schottenheimer, that he is the type of person to be in this building? Because the concerns, as Bobby laid out earlier, from Texas A&M, even from Ole Miss, it's like, does this guy love football? You know, is he 100% bought in? Is he, you typically see that high entitlement with the number one overall recruit, five-star type guy, which he was coming out of high school in Powell, Tennessee. And it translated to his time at Texas A&M not really working out that well. Went to Ole Miss, and sure, he does have the traits. He has the explosiveness. But that would be my biggest question is, like, do I want this guy in the locker room?
Give me the player comps for Nolan that you have and Emeka.
And you're going to hate me here. I hate player
comps.
Jimmy
Butler?
We'll
get to that
comps
at 8:20.
Yeah, I honestly hate player comps just because I think it boxes guys in and you expect certain things from guys and then they don't live up to that expectation, but they live up to a similarly high expectation in a different realm,
okay,
then it doesn't pan out. That's just me. I don't have one player comp in my entire board. But if I had to give a type of impact that I think these guys would have, Nolan, he has pass rush upside. I think he's going to have a little bit of development to do in his first year as far as getting push in the run game. But I think the pass rush stuff is really enticing with his explosiveness, his hands. It starts from his lower body getting up. He creates leverage. He can do that from the interior. Where does he fit on this defense? That's the question, because he's not a one tech, and you're not putting Osa Digizu at the one tech either. So are you drafting a rotational defensive tackle with your first overall pick? That's, I don't know about that.
What's your answer to that, Bobby?
So I think that what we saw historically when Rod Marinelli was here, and that's obviously somebody who influenced Matt Eberflus a ton. What we saw was it was very rare where any defensive lineman got into 70% snaps on the team. Because they do rotate so heavy. They go like 7-8 deep of just... Marinelli's thought was always just, the fresher I can keep guys, they don't have heavy legs in the fourth quarter, and that's where we make a difference. And in those crunch time moments, we're able to make a difference. And especially with how much they tell their three techs, get upfield, and run with your motor hot, that they feel like we get guys who get burned out quickly. Marinelli also ran a pretty intense practice schedule, as much as you can in today's NFL, that guys felt like they would get worn down if they weren't rotating as much. And so, yeah, if they were picking Nolan, that would tell me that they're going into a heavy rotation on the defensive line.
And maybe it's a situation, too, where on passing downs that they have Osa and Nolan in the interior on the same front, which could work. But again, this is the number 12 overall pick. Brian Schottenheimer said in Florida, we don't plan on having this pick this high ever again. We want to get an impact player. I don't know if drafting a rotational guy is an impact player that's only going to be on the field half the snaps and a guy that also has questions about loving the game. I don't know.
And you feel like that would need to come with a trade down? You would be a little disappointed if he was the pick at 12?
Yeah, that would be double disappointment for me, I think, if they pick Walter Nolan at 12.
Nick Harris, Forward Star Telegram, here in Studio 105 through the Fan. Who is your Mecca comp, Bobby?
Cooper Kupp. I think he's like Kupp in terms of just big slot guy who's not going to have a bunch of breakaway speed, but somebody who I think is really savvy in the way that he runs his routes and finds those little margins, those little details in his route running to get space. I think he translates to... There are times you wonder, all right, does this guy translate to the NFL? He's fast, but like, are you going to be able to outrun everybody in the NFL? And then it's other times where it's like, man, the athleticism, it's just not enough. With Igbuka, I feel pretty confident that his game completely translates to at least a contributor level. Like, you want to bust boom potential with a lot of guys. I just feel like the floor is really high on Igbuka.
So you think their wideout board is Tet, Igbuka, and then Golden.
Yeah.
And what's your wideout board?
Mine is starting with Tet, Igbuka, Burden, Golden. I understand the concerns around Burden, and there's questions about Burden and his love for the game. But I love what he's able to do, create separation downfield. He can run a whole route tree. He can play inside. He can play outside. He's physical. He can play out of the backfield. That's the type of weapon you want on your offense. I think Golden's a really talented player too. I got all these players really close together. That's just how I have him stacked.
When Jerry was talking trades the other day,
yeah,
you make anything of it?
We'll see. You know, I think there's a lot of things that Jerry's probably dangling in front of teams right now as far as like, hey, you know, we can move up, we can move down, probably communicating that to teams. And whenever he's saying this could happen before or after the draft, that's probably putting leverage on a couple of teams as well. But that does throw a wrench into all of these mock scenarios, because we're going into these first 2 days expecting, hey, the Cowboys need a receiver too. They need a starting running back. They need a defensive tackle. They need two starting corners. Well, if we are also factoring in some of these trade possibilities that we have no idea what they are, then that really could throw a wrench into what we think the plans are. So, you know, if they do take an edge rusher with their 12th overall pick, or they do take a quarterback in the back end of the third round if they picked up an extra pick, I'm just kind of theorizing, then it shouldn't be a surprise, just because they're dealing with possibilities we don't even know about.
Play around with a name or two in terms of a veteran that you think they could maybe be talking about.
Corner was the first thing that jumped to mind. Ramsey's contract is a little heavy, I think, for what their taste typically is. Jair Alexander is a fascinating one, but you know, that would be a very interesting locker room fit. I think there could be some receivers out there on the market too. Not necessarily a George Pickens. That doesn't necessarily fit what Schottenheimer is trying to go for. But yeah, there are some intriguing names that are on the draft market or on the trade market going into draft night. Jameson Williams is a very fascinating one to me. I don't know what you would have to give up for Jameson Williams. That would probably be the steep price.
He's a bit of a gamble.
He would be a gamble for shit. I see what you did there.
A gamble.
That took me a second.
Maybe you can buy his jersey, too.
He definitely would be.
If he talks ass about Marcus Mosier, I probably will.
I still need to get a story from you on that.
8:15.
I think Jameson Williams would be fascinating, but I'm sure that price would be steep. There's a lot of interesting possibilities out there. I even think Courtland Sutton is a fascinating one, depending on what that price could look like.
Well, you're not getting this wide receiver safety net that I was kind of holding out for because Tyler Lockett signed with the Titans yesterday. So I was thinking maybe what?
Whoa, Cam Ward's got 3 of the top 5 receivers in the NFL now. Good for him.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Cam Ward on his video game stream naming all the top receivers that happen to play in Tennessee. But I was hoping, the Seattle connection, okay, maybe a fallback if you don't get what you want wide receiver-wise. But no, Tyler Lockett going to the Titans. But Bobby, you were playing around with a Titans wide receiver that may be expendable now that you said the Cowboys loved?
Yeah, I mean, they loved Treylon Burks a couple years ago. The biggest problem there is just he is not...
Nick just made a face.
Yeah, no, I mean, Treylon Burks is not... This would be in line with going and getting Mingo.
I was about to say, they just got Treylon Burks.
So it's in line. I do think Burks has higher upside than Mingo does. The biggest problem has just been... So here's the thing. When Treylon Burks was coming out, that was a guy that they thought highly enough of that, I mean... The names you would hear thrown around at times when it's like, let's think of comps of what kind of player he's like. The names you would hear from people over there was like A.J. Brown or Deebo Samuel. Like, that's the kind of guy that they thought he had the potential to be. Mingo, I knew they liked. I never heard them talk about Mingo in the same sort of hushed tones during the draft process that they did with Burks. They had concerns about Burks because they were curious about, would he be able to manage his weight? He was a bigger guy. Could he manage his frame? That was, conditioning. We worry about that here in Dallas. But that was a big concern for them. And he's not been able to stay healthy consistently, which may speak to conditioning. But he's somebody who they thought highly enough of that they have enough of a history of boomeranging guys that they liked previously that if he were available, I wouldn't be surprised they would just go, all right, well, let's investigate that.
Yeah, Dallas has become last chance you for a lot of these guys, these former first-round picks that they love, even high second-round picks. But the last time Treylon Burks or Jonathan Mingo were ever an impact or even scored a touchdown, I mean, look at that production. Sean was doing his own laundry over here. It's been a while.
Nah, what a Tolo reference. Nick Harris, Fort Worth Star-Telegram here on 105.3 The Fan. Everyone wants to trade down all the time now. That's the thing to do. What range would you feel, based upon your board, first-round picks, second, third-rounders, what range would you feel uncomfortable trading down to?
I think once you get past Houston at 25, then you're like, okay, how much are you really getting? Because the big question in the reports that have come out of these teams having preliminary conversations around trading down is these deals are coming 70 cents on the dollar. Now, how does that change on draft night? That could change dramatically. There could be a lot of teams, more teams than expected, that could be trying to trade up. But if they're going back to a 25, say, with Houston, they're talking about wanting to jump up and go in and getting one of these offensive linemen if they slip to a 11, 12, 13 range. If a Kelvin Banks is there, Houston loves Kelvin Banks. If somehow Will Campbell is there, Houston would sell their soul to go get Will Campbell. I wonder what the deal would look like in that sense, but it's going to be tough. And I'm not saying it's impossible. I think it certainly could happen tonight, and the Cowboys will certainly field a call. They would like to trade down, but they're not going to trade out of their pick if they're not getting value for the pick.
What is your worry scenario tonight in terms of player or a team jumping?
Walter Nolan is my worry scenario. I'll give you that one for the reasons I just laid out earlier. As far as a team jumping, any team that needs a receiver, and I'm looking at a Seattle potentially going up and grabbing a McMillan or.
Worried about him at 5 to Jacksonville now?
There's a lot of Genty smoke there, and the Genty buzz does make sense, but there's a lot of teams right there in that 5 to 10 range that you're gonna have to go through a landmine for McMillan to get through. You got Jacksonville. I could see Oakland making a case. I could see Chicago making a case. The Jets, I could see them making a case. I mean, you are having to go through a landmine. All the buzz about 3 offensive tackles going in the first 10 picks, Cowboys fans should be throwing a party every time one of these offensive linemen come off the board, because as they come off the board, those other teams are going to be just as inclined to go ahead and getting one themselves, and that's going to push McMillan down the line.
Could I argue strongly that I'd prefer an offensive lineman over a receiver? And who would that be for you?
You prefer an offensive lineman over a receiver?
Maybe.
Okay.
Depends who it is, but I wouldn't be opposed to it.
Oh, I thought you were saying that you do. I think it's something that shouldn't be, you know, trashed on, I think, as much as it has been in the course of the last couple of weeks.
Why would it be trashed on?
I think from a Cowboys fan base perspective, it would be the third first round pick in a row that's not really that sexy. And, you know, it would be, okay, how are we going to shuffle this line around? Are you saying that you're giving up on Tyler Guyton if you draft a Josh Simmons type? I think if they go and get offensive line help and you understand the Cowboys draft history, offensive line is always on the table in the first round for this team, man. Whether it's a Tyler Booker or a Josh Simmons or a Kelvin Banks if he's there at 12. Either of those three would be solid, solid picks.
If I have a blank slate and it's a draft throughout the entire league, after quarterback, offensive line is my next pick. That's just me personally. So we just got a reminder the other day or the past month with Zach and Tyron of what those times were like and how glorious they were. I can then take a lesser running back. Let's get Dak some more time. I can find some receivers. Man, I'm never opposed to stuff. Philadelphia. Every time we face Philadelphia, I'm like, oh my God, we're going to lose the O-line, D-line matchup. Mm-hmm. Like, they're just better up front than everybody else. So I'm not down. It's not as fun tonight and today talking about it, but I'm not against it.
You guys have a fan chat that's running, right? Mm-hmm. I'd be curious to know how fans would feel if they went and grabbed an offensive lineman, say like a Tyler Booker or a Kelvin Banks, to fill in that open guard spot and then doubled back with like Keenan Allen next week.
214.
Well, it depends if Tet's on the board or not. If Tet's on the board and they draft a lineman, people are going to freak out.
Yeah, it's going to be a disaster.
214 says, I would love an O-lineman at number 12. Another 214 comes in, says they better take the best offensive lineman at number 12. Those are just a couple that are winning, wanting offensive line. The vast majority of people seem to want Tet. That seems to be, they want Tet McMillan. There's a handful that say, I want Golden, I want the speed and the flash, but offensive line has got its crew.
Let's start emptying the draft notebook of Nick Harris, the final one, Fort Worth Star Telegram, and take calls like we did yesterday with Zach. 877-881-1053, 877-881-1053. As we continue to celebrate the stars as well, Loaded Thursday edition continues on Sean and RJ.
Mason Marchman on the forehand, pass, shot, score! Score!
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy, just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's T Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T today or visit MensTClinic.com. That's MensTClinic.com.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Tyler Seguin! The Stars have done it! Back-to-back overtime wins! 2-1, they lead the series! 2-1, they win game three!
Did you stay up late for it? Good morning, Metroplex. It's a great morning. If you're a Stars fan, they somehow, some way take the 2-1 series lead. The trailing stats in this series are insane. They've led for 62 seconds in the series. The second team to lead a best of seven series through three games with a lead time fewer than 2 minutes. Second team ever. Nick Karras in studio answering all your draft questions from the Fort Worth Star Telegram. Did you stay up for it?
I did. Whenever Mason Marchment got that 4-minute penalty, I was like, oh, this is cooked.
Yep.
This is cooked. And when they survived that, I was like, okay. And then Marchment redeemed himself. It was super cool to see.
While falling down, somehow he got the assist. Ratanen set it all up. So he finally gets a point in the series. He had taken the most shots in the postseason without a goal. And again, as we were talking the other day, it felt like the temperature was kind of heating up on him. Like, yo, man, where are you? Are you going to show up? Well, he set it up for Marchment. Marchment set it up for Seguin. And there you go. Seguin and Ben, who had been the faces of this franchise, both come through with goals last night. Ben's was insane.
Yeah, as much as, you know, it's been a lot of excitement about Rantanen, and we've seen these contributions that it's this new school Stars era. It was the classics getting you through last night with Otter, Seguin, Ben. They're the ones who ultimately carry. And now you feel a lot better. Like that 8-game losing streak feels kind of far away at this point. Now you feel a little comfortable. Not that you're relaxing and saying, all right, we got this thing locked up. But now you feel a little bit like, all right, we can at least breathe a little.
All right, let's get to the questions you have on the home of the Dallas Cowboys. Nick Karras, Bobby Belt, Brian Broaddus, Walchuk, and others will be hosting all 3 days on the Dallas Cowboys Radio Network. You can listen to the Rangers tonight on our sister station, News Radio 1080 KRLD. Luke in Plano, start us off. Luke, you are live on the Fan.
How's it going, y'all? Good morning. Almost the weekend, so getting there. I just have one question for Sean. If he thinks that an offensive lineman is the way to go, does that mean that he's out on Dak and us winning now? I think that you draft a lineman to rebuild and restructure. It takes a few years for him to get in, just like we've seen with Tyler Guyton. I think there's some shuffling we could do there with Terrence Steele and his contract. I think if you want to win now, you got to go with the skill position. Tet McMillan is a monster. If you look at the other teams, Devontae Smith, A.J. Brown just won the Super Bowl. Joe Burrow has T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase. It's a 1-2 punch now. You can't get around with the Allen Hurns trial by committee. So that's my 2 cents. I hope y'all have a great day and a great weekend.
Great question. Thanks for the call. Glad you directed your first one towards the expert in here.
Kiss the ring.
You know, I would counter back with Frederick, Tyron, Zach, Tyler.
Yeah.
In terms of immediate play. And look, you can draft a wide receiver bust too. Mm-hmm. Are you guys sold that there's less bust factor with wideout over linemen?
Less bust factor. In a sense, I think it's honestly right down the middle with both of them. You could look at various different receivers in these last few drafts. We just talked about two of them, Treylon Burks and Jonathan Mingo, that haven't really panned out. But if we're talking that high of a pick, you've still seen some top 10 guys over the course of the last decade that haven't panned out to the rate of offensive linemen. But to his question, they talked about in the pre-draft press conference, Jerry Jones specifically, saying, hey, offensive line, picking an offensive lineman with a premium pick will help our run game. And he sees that as opening up opportunities for some of those skill guys. I'm not rationalizing from Sean's perspective or anyone that would say, you know, take an offensive lineman there. But that is their thinking. And we know how much this team loves offensive linemen, especially with premium picks.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Guyton is, you got to remember, Guyton was still a tight end when he got to TCU. And, like, he's played right tackle at Oklahoma, and then he was moving to left tackle. Like, there's still so much raw about Guyton.
Give me their line today, left or right.
Guyton, left or right, it'd be Guyton, Smith, Beebe, today, Hoffman, probably, and then Steele.
Okay. I possibly have 3 to 4 questions up front. Bobby loves Steele. A lot of fans don't love him. I know that you want Brock in a bar fight.
I'm optimistic about Steele.
Okay.
I'm optimistic that he'll recover.
I am too. I said it in the draft 101 thing here in here at the Odyssey building last week. This coaching change benefits Terrence Steele, I think, more than any other player on this roster.
Why?
Being able to go from the Solari system, which I didn't really ever feel like worked with him. He felt unnatural in that system and what Solari was trying to coach and imply over the course of his time here. I think moving to a Clayton Adams type scheme where he can maximize his athleticism, get going more with man-on-man matchups rather than gap scheme type stuff, I think he's going to have a really good year in 25.
The Cowboys blame Mike Solari for Steele's stunted growth. That's why he's gone.
Jason in Dallas, you're up next. Jason, you're live on the Fan.
Hey, good morning, guys. How's it going?
Morning.
So I've got a question. When it comes to defensive tackle and cornerback, who do you think Dallas values more at taking in this draft first, cornerback or defensive tackle?
That's a good question. I think with the names that are on the board and everything we've been hearing about Walter Nolan, I think with this premium first pick, they're probably valuing the defensive tackle a little bit more. But you look in the second round, that's going to be the sweet spot for that corner pick. You look at a Trey Amos out of Ole Miss, Maxwell Harrison out of Kentucky, which I feel like would be the best pick this team can make in the entire draft, in my opinion. Or if Jahdae Barron is somehow slipping into the second round. This corner spot is so, so blinking red flag right now for this team. For me, that's the more emphasis going into tonight. But I think they would emphasize a defensive tackle spot.
So first round corner tonight is weak.
Unless they trade back, I could see something in maybe like the early 20s to pull on a Will Johnson if he's still there. There's love for Will Johnson here.
Yeah, Johnson probably not at 12. Like, that'd probably be too early even in a wipeout scenario. But, yeah. Travis Hunter's not weak, obviously. Like, I mean, you've got Hunter and you've got Johnson, who a lot of people like Johnson. There's just questions about Will Johnson and his long speed and some of those things. There's unknowns. I think Will Johnson would be a better regarded prospect if people felt like they had more of his athletic testing answers.
Mike in Fort Worth, you're up next on the D&M Leasing Hotline. Go ahead, Mikey.
Hey, guys. Good morning. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. You're a local Raider fan. I love the Raiders, but I root for the Cowboys as long as they don't play the Raiders. But anyway, hey, look, I'm going to get to your draft question in a minute. But, hey, Bobby and Sean, you guys need to – he's up on Nico now. He does deserve all the blame because he knew everybody in the world knows that Anthony Davis is going to get hurt. But next year, guess what? I'm an optimist. Mavericks going to win the championship, and we get Kyrie back, and Davis ain't going to miss a game because of injury.
Not going to miss a game.
Well, don't bet no money on the pigs on that. But,
Mike, you got the good plug.
But look here. The Cowboys need a running back. Everybody knows that. We need a running back. We got receivers. Dak can throw the ball. We got good receivers. I mean, as far as CD, we got the backups are decent enough. We need a running back. That's what I believe, guys. But anyway, have a good morning.
Thanks for the call, Mike. Yesterday, I asked the fellas to put Genty, Bijan, and Gibbs in order, coming out in the same class. Mm-hmm. Based upon what you know about them in college, they both had Genty at the top of that list.
Yeah, that list of what you just named them off, that'd be it for me, too.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
I think Genty's going to be that special. I think he's going to play in this league for 10-plus years. And I know that's a long thing to say about a running back. I think he's got that type of ability, durability, and strength.
You're not worried about 5'8 and a half?
Nah, he'll be all right.
I was trying to think. I was asking Bobby, who have been the special backs at that size in the history of the league? You usually think of a gimmick guy, you know, a Sproles. I think you brought up Eckler. Maybe MJD? I was just looking at the history of Eckler, the height.
Barry. I mean, Barry was tiny.
But yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, he's a different, Emmett. But he's a smaller back who's also like built is physical.
All right. So let's take the approach that Genty's long gone.
For sure.
Actually, let me do this. McMillan and Genty are both on the board.
I'm taking Ginty.
Ginty.
Yeah.
Not even
thinking I'm sticking to my board there. I have Ginty above him.
You had McMillan as the third best player in the draft.
And Genty's two.
Genty's two.
Mm-hmm. I also have Ginty at two. Yep.
Okay, let's do a stupid trade-up fun exercise.
Okay.
How far are you willing to go for McMillan or Ginty, factoring in price?
This team has no business trading up in this draft, but like you said, for the purpose of the exercise...
No, that's your answer, yeah. Then. You don't want them to trade up.
No.
Not for either guy.
No, neither. No.
Okay.
They traded up when they got Jonathan Mingo. That was them sacrificing their capital.
Eight.
If they had an extra capital, maybe.
I'd go up to eight.
And that is with...
That's 200 points. That's your third rounder. Or next year's two. Ugh. I know it's not exciting, but if Genty's sitting there at eight, I would do that. McMillan, I might not, because there are enough receivers in this draft. I know there's enough runners in this draft, but there's like a gap from Genty down to everybody else.
I'll say the caveat, the one guy you could get me to trade up for, and it's only if he gets out of the top five, is Travis Hunter. Because you're giving up a pick, you're getting two players basically anyway.
Does everyone think Hunter's going to Cleveland?
Yeah, that's the consensus at this point, yeah.
Okay, so now let's get the realistic running back scenario. Mm. Genty's long gone. You're looking at round three?
I'm looking at 76. I think those second round type backs are going to be wiped out at 44 for you. I think there's going to be two separate runs at the running back position before they pick at 44. I think you're going to have Denver kicking it off at 20, going to that 25, 26 range. I think you could see Henderson and Hampton come off the board there. And then at the very top of the second round, you got the Cleveland Browns picking at 33. They need a back. They can't rely on Nick Chubb's health anymore. I could see them going for a Quinshon Judkins type, and then Dylan Sampson's going to be in that range. Caleb Johnson might be the guy available for you at 44. If it were me, I would wait to that 76 sweet spot, because you can get Bashaul Tooten, who, in my opinion, would be the best fit for this Cowboys team at 76. Damian Martinez, he's a Louisville guy. He's going to be in that range. RJ Harvey out of UCF. There's going to be a lot of talented running backs there for you at 76. And also, knowing what this team is thinking going into the weekend, I think they think that 76 is going to be the sweet spot for that running back too.
Nick Harris, Fort Worth Star-Telegram in studio, taking your draft calls here on the big day. Andreas in Dallas, you're up next on Sean and RJ. Go ahead.
Good morning, folks.
Morning.
My hunch is if Shador Sanders is at 12, I can see Jerry, he passed on the quarterback, Johnny Manziel. We got Zach Moore, Hall of Famer. I'm all for it. Let's go Shador Sanders. Let's have a S show for the next 5 years.
And then get Deion.
We're not going to win a Super Bowl, so let's have some fun with it, you know?
Yeah, I was saying, then get Deion.
No, they're not going to do that. They're not taking Shador at 12. That's not
happening. I will say, though, we're going to be on the draft show, and the 12's going to come around. Shador's going to be on the board, and we're going to be like, all right, so who's going to bring it up just so somebody could say no?
Zach will bring it up.
Well, not only in our draft show, I'm talking about in the war room.
Who's
going to bring it up just so somebody can say no?
Is there anyone on the draft show who has advocated a quarterback in the first or second round?
No, not that I know.
Zach has fired off the random shot of, if Shador's there, I'll take him at 12.
He did that
one time.
Yeah, but if he pulls that tonight, I'm going to slap around.
877-881-1053 to hit us up as we are rolling here, Thursday edition on DFW Sports Station. Bobby has his final mock draft. The seven newest Cowboys that Bobby says you will be welcoming after this weekend. And let's see if Nick Harris thinks it's smart or probably stupid. Below the belt after this.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby.
Do you think the Cowboys will draft a playmaker or a difference maker?
Wow, what a deep question.
Well, that's the question that got texted me by Mike Bassick. He wants to know if the Cowboys are going to draft a playmaker or a difference maker.
A perfect Mike
philosophy with Dr. Bassett.
That is a Mike question. He also says the Cowboys have Jonathan Mingo. They don't need another wide receiver. Go bingo with Mingo.
Look at Mikey checking in.
So yeah, Tolo Mike Bassick checking in there. All right, let's talk about who they will actually take.
What a wordsmith.
Yeah, he is. He's on top of it. Let's talk about who they will actually take in the draft. And I've got my 7-round mock ready. Now, here's the thing about 7-round mocks. Really and truly, you're only, I don't know, you feel like maybe you're 70% confident on the first pick, especially when you're picking at 12. The further you go in the draft, the less confident you are. Second and third round, you feel like maybe I've got like a 15% chance to hit that just because you don't know who's going to get taken that deep and like who could be gone or who could be available. And then day three, you're literally just going, if I hit one of these six, then I'm feeling like I'm a superstar. Yeah. I've nailed this one. So this is basically a 12th pick projection and then a bunch of guessing.
Nick Harris, Fort Worth Star-Telegram in studio, part of the draft coverage tonight. Who are like the top two mock drafts you pay the most attention to?
I kind of factor them all in relatively, you know, with conjecture.
Like, who do you respect?
Daniel Jeremiah, for sure, and what he put out yesterday, for sure. You know, take a close look at it. There's also just some very niche ones in the draft market that I think they do a good job of looking at it from a objective lens, and they're able to factor in multiple things. Mock drafts are so tough because
draft analyst? Let me correct.
Yeah, I am a Jeremiah guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jeremiah.
Shots fired, Dane Brugler.
I was going to say, Jeremiah and Brugler are really accurate.
I love Dane.
Jeremiah and Dane are really accurate. Honestly,
I wish someone would just come out one time and be against the grain and be like, Dane's overrated. Dane sucks. We can't all just love Dane.
Clip that and send that to Dane.
Send it to him.
Just clip the part of Sean saying it. Yeah. Dane sucks. Dane's overrated. No, this is something where the way that I've always done this, because everybody's always like, you're reading, you're tipping the picks. Like when I was sitting in there when you were hosting that one year and I was calling picks and you guys Yeah, that one year where you and I were both there. And so I was told I was tipping the pick or that I was getting tip picks. And I went and I went to a mock draft thing. I was tipping picks. I went to
the pills kicking in.
Every year. No, I don't have it today. Every year.
I was wondering why you're talking so much faster.
Yeah, that's why. And I'm just delirious at this point with tired. I'm so tired. I'm going to have to go home and sleep when I get home.
Are you going to get it?
I'm going to try. But the way to do this typically.
Might need to go execute a deal at Fair Park.
The reason. Yeah, I need a drop. The reason why I've had, like, been able to project a lot of that is not me having a clue with a lot of those ones. The way to do this typically is go look at Who's the big beat writer in Washington? Who's the big beat writer in Detroit? They all know generally they're targeting this guy. They expect he might be there. I'm hearing rumbles. Once you see that, you can fill out a mock draft by just going and looking in the cities of who's the big person that looks to be the one that's trusted in each market. That's usually the best way to build a mock and figure out where everybody's going.
That's a really good point, and I do pay attention a lot more when ESPN or The Athletic does their beat writer mock draft. Or if one of these radio stations, you know, picks beat writers from Jacksonville, does a really good job. One of their stations, as far as picking like the really good beat writers for their beat writer mock draft, I pay attention to those a lot.
Well, there was J.P. Finley, our friend from the Fan in Washington D.C., NBC Sports Washington. I remember he was insisting. He was like a few years back. He was like, Daron Payne is who they love. They're gonna pick Daron Payne. And nobody nationally had Daron Payne go to Washington. And then they picked him, and everybody's like, what a shocker from Washington. It's like, well, everybody at Washington was saying it was going to be Daron Payne. Yeah. So, all right, these are the names that I've got for my mock draft. And we'll let Sean and Nick kick me in the nuts if they think that this is wrong. First pick, number 12. I'm going to be optimistic. I'm going to say Tet McMillan slides, and they're going to get McMillan.
Would love it.
That's where I'm going. I'm saying McMillan, Arizona. What would you place the chances at right now, percentage-wise, that you think he actually gets to 12?
I'm saying like 35, 40, which I think is higher than it would have been if you asked me on Monday or Sunday.
Oh, if you would have asked me this 3 months ago, I would have said 0% that he gets out of the top five.
Yeah. Oh.
Like I didn't.
I feel like the chances are decreasing.
So they've
gone up and down. It's been a roller coaster for sure. Because no one knows what the hell is going to happen between 6 and 10. I almost cussed. 6 and 10.
No, it's because that's the.
Didn't you say hell?
Yeah, that can get by, though, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I was making sure. We're not dumping back there, are we?
He did curse.
McMillan was projected for 2 months to be number four to the Patriots. And then all of a sudden, everybody started dropping him.
So your second most favorite realistic scenario and player, if McMillan's gone, is who?
Ibuka. That would be my second most favorite.
Would you take him there?
Yes, I would.
Okay.
I would ask, hey, was there a trade back opportunity? Why didn't you take it? Because you probably could get him at 15, 18. But if they stuck and picked him at 12, it wouldn't get a complaint from me.
All right, my next pick, pick 44 in the second round. Here's where I'm going to go a little counter to what some people have been saying, including something Nick said last segment. I think there is going to be a universal thought process that says this running back class is so deep, we can wait, that guys are going to get pushed down further than we think.
That's a possibility.
And I think Henderson gets to 44. I know it's big because Henderson's generally thought of as back of the first.
Henderson.
Travion Henderson from Ohio State, back end of the first. The Ohio State running back you consistently see mocked to Dallas's Quinshon Judkins more than Henderson.
Really? Because,
yeah, I think so. You don't?
I've seen it split. I've seen more Henderson.
I think Henderson was earlier in the process when people wanted him. I think in the last month it's shifted to Judkins because I felt like 2 months ago, people thought Henderson's a second, Judkins a third, and now it's almost like I see them squeezing it down the board a little bit. I think the reverse is going to happen. I think you're going to see guys slide because the league just goes, there's plenty of them. We don't need to do that right now. I need to get this guy right now. I need to get this guy right now. And then they'll say, if we lose Henderson, I can get, you know, whoever in the next, Caleb Johnson. I can get Ollie Gordon. I can get RJ Harvey. I don't have to worry about that. So I'm going to say Travion Henderson gets down there, and I think Dallas snatches him up. I'm looking at a CeeDee Lamb, Trayvon Diggs type of return there. Third round, and this would not be my favorite pick. I think Zach Wolchuk would love it. Third round, pick 76, Alfred Collins, defensive tackle from Texas.
Yeah, that would give you that one tech that could really compete with Mazi Smith. He's not great in pass rush, which you would have to figure out from the interior. Maybe you just rely on Osa to do that. But talk about big physical presence and being able to be a force in the run game, beating double and triple teams at times last year with Texas. He is battling a pretty nasty calf strain, would not be ready for OTAs probably. You'd hope he'd be ready by the time of training camp.
Now, this is something where day three, because they don't have a fourth, so they're going to pick starting in the fifth round with three picks there. Generally, day three, the Cowboys' history is they pick one of two players. They will pick the fourth or fifth-year senior who was at a big-time program and just consistently produced, or they're picking the guy who it's like, that's a raw player that has super upside traits. They're not like, when you get to that stage of the draft, they're generally going, let me get the solid, you know, lunch pail guy, or let me get the guy who has no idea what he's doing, and maybe we can turn him into something. So that's what all these picks are going to be about. Fifth round, first pick, 149. I'm going Carson Vinson, Alabama A&M offensive tackle.
Fascinating. Why?
Because I think he's just an athletic freak. And I think if you're talking about looking at the way that Clayton Adams has done things with offensive linemen before and sort of some of the traits that he's leaned into, I think while they go, we got Guyton, we got Steele, We've got different guys along the offensive line that we're trying to, let's get a developmental guy, not somebody that's going to come in here and start right away, because Vincent would not start here. Like, if they had an injury tomorrow, Vincent's not stepping in and playing tackle. He can't. But Vincent would be one of these guys that you just say, that's a traits player. Let's see if we can develop something there. Pick 171. This is floor guy. This is big time program. Spent years there. RJ Mickens, safety from Clemson in the fifth round. Also a local guy. Somebody who was at, I think he was at Dallas Day, actually.
Yep.
Pick 174. Somebody I know they like. And
ooh.
I know there are a few people there who speak really highly of him, admire, not even in the sense of just, you know, the draft. I heard this come up during the playoff run of people who would speak admirably of him. Pick 174 in the fifth round, Riley Leonard, Notre Dame quarterback. You would hate it.
you know who else put him in their mock? Bill Jones. He put him. And
did he?
He also drafted Quinn Ewers. He had two quarterbacks. Yeah, we got to talk to Bill about that one.
Yeah,
but
there's a reason we talk about NBC5.
I love Bill. I can't laugh at that.
Because he put you on TV the other day.
Bill, I love Bill. I can't. Don't put me in this position.
How many quarterbacks, if any, did you take? Do you have them taking? And do you think they? What round do they mess around with it?
I think they'll take an undrafted quarterback in this class. And I'm looking at Graham Mertz out of Florida. And Seth Hennigan out of Memphis. If either of those two are in the undrafted market, I bet they go after them.
Yeah, and Milton is a guy who that was, in large part, you can make the case that was their pick. That anybody that they were going to pick in the draft, it was Milton. Riley Leonard, to me, is kind of the counter to what you have with Joe Milton, where Joe Milton's like, it's all these traits. Let's see if he can actually play the position. Riley Leonard is like, that's somebody who can play the position. That's somebody who can sit behind the quarterback and be a study guy and is tough and will come out there and set right practice out. I think back end of the fifth, if he's there, I think he's absolutely a discussion with them because I know a lot of people over there really like him.
If they could pitch me on a Taysom Hill type role with him, I'd be intrigued.
Which, he is a mobile, physical player.
17 rushing touchdowns last year. Like, that would give you that goal line, short yardage type presence you'd want.
Sixth round, pick 204. We still do not have an edge rusher, so we're going to get one here from their favorite talent factory, Boise State.
Oh.
We're going to go Ahmed Hassanine. Your thoughts?
The Egyptian cowboy. Mm-hmm. Let's rock.
The Egyptian cowboy?
Yeah, that would be fun. That'd be fun.
Explain that.
He is somebody who was born in Cairo.
He was born in Cairo, and they asked him. He was part of the Jason Witten Man of the Year nominees, and he was asked, hey, what would it be like to be drafted by Dallas? Because he was training in Dallas during the pre-draft process, and he was like, I'd love to be an Egyptian cowboy. And everyone was like, I like that.
Yeah.
He is accent.
He was actually over in, he was at Exos the day McCarthy and the Cowboys split. Nick and I were up at Exos that day. And just talking to the training staff over there about him, they were like, that dude is like, he's one of the leaders of the workout room. And he kept asking all these questions. He kept trying to get over to the trainer's like computer. And he's like, what am I running? What am I projected to run? And like, I mean, but they say high character guy, somebody who I think that when you look at some of the traits, it's not like a super ridiculous high traits kind of guy. But again, it's a talent factory. It's a culture guy. And it's somebody who has shown steady improvement his entire time at Boise State, who I think they feel like that can be a solid, potentially develop into a Dorrance Armstrong type of rusher for you. Sixth round, pick 211. Really quick, we'll run through the rest of these. Justin Wally, Minnesota cornerback. Smaller guy, played outside. He's going to have to show he can actually play the slot. But I think the skill set is there, and he'll likely have to become a slot. But that's a guy who dealt with a lot of different coverage concepts at Minnesota, and I think is the type of fit in the flexibility that Eberflus has typically looked for in his system. And then we're going just traits and looking for upside here in the seventh round. 239, Chandler Martin, linebacker at Memphis. That's somebody who's going to have to work on the coverage aspects, but has all the physical traits to be able to do it. And then BYU edge rusher Tyler Batty as the final pick at 247.
So a part of that mock draft, which corner are you trading for next week?
I'm not trading for a corner, baby.
You feel good about this corner?
Kaylin Carson.
Seatbelt. Tighten that seatbelt, baby.
Tighten that seatbelt.
No, honestly, I think that's part of the two trades they're looking at.
The final seven-round...
like airbag.
Seven-round mock draft from Bobby Belt. He's Nick Harris, Fort Worth Star-Telegram. We have one more hour to go, and we're going to have Nick empty his final draft notebook next on Sean and RJ, 105.3 The Fan.